Okay, new sugya daf mem dalad omad aleph. Heviu lefonov moliach. What does moliach mean? Says Rashi, kol dovor moluach. Anything salted. Tchila. The bach is magia bitchila. They brought him salted food at first. Upas imoy. And bread was brought with it. Mevorich al hamaliach upoiter es hapas. You actually make a bracha over the salted food, and that would exempt the pas. Shahapas tfelo loy. Because the pas is tofel to it. This is the rule that we'll be waiting for about a year. And we've seen it referred to in other places, but this is the makoyer. Ze haklal, kol shuhu iker ve'imoy tfeilo. Whenever you have an iker and with it a tofel, mevorech al ho iker upoiter es hatfeilo. You make a bracha on the iker, and that would exempt the tofel. Now, we should immediately point out the following. What's the case over here? You have two foods. We'll see in the Gemara maybe there's a third, but for the moment, there's two foods. You've got the maliach, you've got your salted food, and you've got the pas. Apparently, the pas is not the ikkah, it's the tofel. So, you are actually more interested in eating the maliach, and you only got the bread with it maybe just to have a basis for it. For example, imagine you'd put a meat, nice big piece of meat, on a cracker. So we understand, you're not really interested in eating crackers now, but you want to just give a crunch to the meat. Or you want to have a base for the meat, a bit like a cone for an ice cream. You're not interested in eating ice cream cones. The same to over here as well. The pas is just considered, as it were, an accompaniment to the moliach. Now, there are a number of very, very important points that we need to consider. Firstly, why does the Mishnah say the word tchila? Heviu lefonov maliach tchila. Why is that significant? If there's a rule called ikkah and tofel, you have your ice cream cone and your ice cream, does it make a difference which one arrived there first?
It says pas imo.
And then it says pas imo, pas brithit. So what's going on? Is it together? Is it not? So it seems to be that you brought the maliach tchila, and then the pas arrived with it. It means you hadn't finished eating the maliach. If they brought the maliach and you ate it, and only then you ate the bread, well, obviously you have to make a bracha on the bread, because the bread cannot be considered a tofel if the maliach is gone. Ovar ubotil min ha'olam. So imoy means it's with it because the salty food is still here. But why is that significant that the maliach was brought first? Why is that pointed out? Is that true? In order for the tofel to become exempted by the ikkah has to arrive first at the table. Is that true? Is that significant? So you could, in theory, read this Mishnah as telling me just that. Maybe that's what the Mishnah is teaching me. The Ikkar and Tofel rule would only apply if the Ikkar arrived first. And maybe that's why the Mishnah points out, Heviu lefonov maliach tchilo. That's maybe what the Mishnah is pointing out. The Ikkar has to arrive first. That's a very big chiddush for us. We've never heard of such a thing. If you have your ice cream and your cones, you have to first bring the ice cream to the table and then the cone. It seems a bit of a chiddush. There's an alternative reading of this Mishnah. There's an alternative reading of the Mishnah in which you would say that no, there is no halachic requirement. There is no halachic requirement for the maliach to come first, for the tofel to arrive first. Maybe to the contrary, the Mishnah is telling me even, not only, even if it arrived tchila, meaning you might have thought that maybe the ikkah and the tofel rule only applies if you actually brought them together to the table, so it's all one. Not only when the Maliach arrived, even when the Maliach arrived first. So you might say, listen, first you brought the Maliach to the table, then you brought the pas to the table, so clearly it's two separate foods. Maybe that's what the Mishnah's telling me. And that's what the Mishnah's stressing. But because at the end of the day the pas is imoy, we do not pay attention to the order that they were brought to the table in, rather to the way they're being eaten. And if they're being eaten together, then that is the Ikar and Tafel rule. So that's an important point in the Mishnah. Now, there is another very important point in Ikar and Tafel. The Ikar and Tafel principle, very interesting, it's actually mentioned all over the Perek. It's mentioned all over the Perek. We actually first bumped into the rule of Ikar and Tafel right towards the beginning of the Perek. We've had it mentioned a couple of times. There are different types of Ikar and Tafel. You can have a salad in which you have a roiv and a miut. You have a roiv and a miut. So it's not that one food is necessarily more important than the other. Rather, it's a roiv and a miut. So imagine, for example, you have a salad which is mainly vegetables, for example, but you have a few pieces of orange in it as well. Now, nobody's going to claim that one is more important than the other. That's not the discussion. But maybe by virtue of the fact that the vegetables are the roiv, that would make it the ikka. That he make our dom, and that's it. No ho'eitz. Then you have a case like ours where it's not the quantity. Nobody told us in the Mishnah how much maliach and how much pas was brought. Rather, it's the idea of quality. What's more important to me? Even though obviously we know, as a general rule, pas is obviously always more significant. But maybe not so. If in my personal preference, or at least in this particular meal, I'm interested in eating maliach. The bread is just there as a filler. The bread is just there as a base. So there, it's not the roiv and the miut that dictate terms. That's something else we have to keep open.
Is there also a chiddush in the mission, the fact that it brings pas?
Yes, we'll see that in Tosis.
Okay.
Yeah. Now,
do we paskin in a salad that the whatever's the roiv?
The roiv, right. Well, we'll see all of this in Shulchan Aruch Mishrim, but it's a Gemara later on, which we'll have to come back to. Now, there is a world-famous chakira. Very, very important chakira when it comes to Ikar and Tafel. You make your bracha on the Ikar, and that exempts the Tafel. There are two different ways, at least, that you can understand this principle of Ikar and Tafel. Very important chakira. What does chakira mean? Investigation. Whenever you have like a classic suffix, two different ways of looking at it, it's called a chakira. Ches, kuf, yud, resh, hey. A chakira, to be chaykas, to examine something. We could examine this rule and understand it in two different ways. And these are the two ways you can understand it. You could understand that when I make a bracha on the ikka, that bracha takes effect on the ikka, and by extension, on the tafel as well. That's one way you can understand. So at the end of the day, both foods got brachas. How can that be? The bracha, what bracha, by the way, do you make on maliach? Let's say shahakul. So how can it be that shahakul works for bread? The bracha over bread is not shahakul, it's hamoitzi. But by virtue of the fact that it took effect on the maliach, it takes effect by extension on the bread as well. So at the end of the day, did the bread get a bracha? The answer is yes, it did. There is, however, a completely different way to look at Ikar and Tafel. You know how you could understand Ikar and Tafel? You could learn Ikar and Tafel that when you have an Ikar and you also have a Tafel, the Tafel is subordinate to the Ikar, and its bottle, it's completely negligible, insignificant, and plays no role over here because it's completely outshadowed and eclipsed by the Ikar. such that it doesn't require a bracha, and you only need to make a bracha on the ikkar. So at the end of the day, did the bread get a bracha? The answer is no, it did not. How can it be? How can you possibly eat something without a bracha? We learned in the beginning of this parak, if you ever eat without a bracha, it's like stealing. The answer is no. Because when is it considered like stealing or like me'ila? If the food is significant, so you have no right to steal or to profane its kedusha. But when the bread is insignificant, why is it insignificant? Because it's overshadowed by an ikkah, so it's bottle to the ikkah. It's bottle to the ikkah.
So it doesn't need a bracha.
And therefore it doesn't require a bracha, because if it's not here. I'll give you an example. Imagine somebody goes to the mikveh, and she comes out of the mikveh, and she finds on her hand a piece of dirt. In fact, somebody called me last night, midnight, with this shayla. My wife has just come back from the mikveh. She has a plaster, what do you guys call it?
Band-aid.
Or some strange word. A band-aid. Now, when you have a band-aid around, for example, I think it was on her chest, I think she said, so if it's been there for a while, when you peel it off, it sometimes leaves a bit of sticky residue. So he said that she definitely tried to clean it very, very thoroughly before the mikveh, and as far as she was concerned, she succeeded in cleaning it off. When she arrived back home, she realizes there's a tiny speck of sticky substance which clearly had not been successfully removed. Is that a chatzitza or not? Now, let's ask before we get to the halachics, let's get to the mitzias. Did that sticky substance prevent water from touching her goof?
Yes.
If it didn't, then the shayla is a non-starter. But if it did, then we're in the world of chatzitza. Chatzitza means there was a barrier, a divider. That's the word chatzitza, chatzi. So I think it's safe to say if you have a gluey, sticky substance on your goof, that will prevent water from touching the goof. So now I have a big question. So it's a chatzitza. It's true, it's only a miut. It's not roiv of the goof, but Chazal told us that even a miut of the goof is also chatzitza, providing that, what's the one word condition?
It matters.
Has to be that it matters to her, that she's makbid, that she's particular. And if she's not makbid, then it's not a chatzitza. So upon investigation, it turns out, unsurprisingly, she's not makbid.
If rove is makbid, not the person?
Right. Normally it goes with the rove of the world. Fine, but if there's no particular rove one way or another, then you have to ask the person directly. I had a shayla once. Somebody once knocked on our door Friday night. Late at night, my wife has just come back from the mikveh, and she's found a blob of glue, quite a big blob, don't know how this happened, on her finger. Turns out she was busy with glue that day, Erev Tefillah, which is completely osa lahalocha. So therefore one doesn't have to be Einstein to understand if she played with glue that day and she finds glue on her fingers that night, obviously. There, I did not ask her, are you makpit? Why didn't I ask her? Because everybody's makpit. Again, if it's not a tiny little blob. If it's not a, you know, it wasn't an enormous piece, but if it's, you know, even a slither, safe to say, roiv people do not want to walk around, men or women, with a piece of glue stuck to their hand. Fine. But in this particular case, where it's not on the hand, it's on the chest, it's completely covered, and she's already removed, she thought, scrubbed it off, and as far as she was concerned, there's nothing left. Now she somehow has detected afterwards. She said, I'm absolutely not makbid. It's such a small amount, you can barely see it. You can feel it, it's definitely there, otherwise we wouldn't be asking the shayla. But it's there, it's definitely not makbid. Fine, so he said it's okay. Now, why is it okay? So she's not makbid, so what? So Rashi says, because if it is a miut which is not makbid, miut shena makbid, it is tofel and botel to the goof. What does it mean it's botel to the goof? It's considered negligible in light of the fact that it's stuck to the goof. Now what does it mean it's negligible? But it's there, I can see it, I can feel it, I can touch it. If I were to remove it and put it on a plate, it would not be insignificant. It's a piece of something. But if it's stuck to something else, then what? With regard to the goof, it's considered negligible, and the Lashon of Chazal is therefore keman deleisa. It is for all intents and purposes as if it is not there. Therefore, we can ignore it because halachically it's considered to be not there. What does that mean, halachically it's not there? But it physically, it is there. But the halachics tell me that just like, for example, let's take another example. Somebody comes to Beis Din and they accuse him of murder. They take him to trial. 15 dayonim say he's chayev misa and 8 say he's not. What's the halacha? He's chayev misa. Why you go with the roiv? How can you go with the roiv? There's 8 dayonim who said that he's innocent. The lomdus is, because when you have a miut, the miut is batel to the roiv. Therefore, at the end of the day, do you know what the score is? It's not 15 versus 8. It's 15 versus 0, or maybe even 23 now considered 0. This Beis Din of 23 have paskened unanimously that he's chayav misa.
Not in the case of 12 versus 11.
Though. 12 versus 11, maybe different. It's been a majority of 2.
I think with shishim.
Bottle b'shishim. Whenever the principle of bittel, I don't want to say whenever, but very often, the lomdus is that the miut is botel, is considered not to be there. It's considered not to be there. Even though we all know that it is there, you cannot ignore the metzias. But halachically, the miut, or the insignificant part, is tofel and botel. So we've given a number of examples, whether it be with chatzitza, whether it be to bittel b'roiv in a Beis Din, bittel b'shishim in a taroivas, we have many examples of bittel and tofel. So maybe that is the explanation of the ikka and tofel rule with regard to brachas as well. That when you have your moliach and your pass, the pass versus the maliach, with regard to the maliach, is botel and tofel, such that the bread is considered
halachically not there.
Halachically not there. Now, for when I make my brocha on the maliach, why does that help? Because halachically, that's the only thing that's here. So, do you hear the difference between the two tzadim? It's enormous, enormous, enormous chakira. The first side of the chakira is that no, it's considered to be here, but by virtue of the fact that it's subordinate to the ikka, the brocha of the ikka will incorporate that as well. One size fits all. So at the end of the day, did the toffle get a brocha? Yes, it did. The second sad is that no, it didn't. Oh, it didn't? How can you eat something without a bracha? The answer is because not here. Two different ways of understanding this halacha. And if you want to know what would be a difference between the two tzadim, a classic nafkamina, by the way, there are several, will be in the following scenario. You put your maliach on a piece of bread. So what does the Mishnah say? Make a bracha on the maliach, and that's it, fine. You're busy chomping your way through, and you've finished your maliach, and guess what? There's still a quarter of a slice of bread left, and you want to finish off the bread. What's the halachana? Do we all appreciate that depends on our chakira? If you learn that the bracha on the ikka incorporated the tofel as well, so the bread got a bracha. So, fine, no problem. Please, besimcha, continue eating the bread. But if the bracha never took effect on the bread, but it didn't need to because the bread is botel, you can only say it's botel. You can only say it's botel when the ikka is here. When the ikkar is here, so it's botel to it. But remember we said before, this sticky substance on the goof might be botel, but if you take it off the goof, can't be botel. Botel to what? Botel by definition always means to something else. You're negated by. You always have to finish that sentence. You cannot be negligible essentially, it has to be negated by something. So here we can say that the bread is negated by the maliach. That's all fine and well, as long as the maliach is here. But when the maliach is no longer here, so now you're eating the bread. Why are you eating the bread? Don't tell me as a basis for the maliach. The maliach's not here. So now you're eating bread in its own right. So according to the second sad of the chakira, l'chayr yishtaf make a brocha now on the bread. Same would be in the classic shayla of ice cream cone. You start eating your ice cream and your cone and you nibble from a bit of both. Fine, no problem. The main thing is the shahakol, not the mezainis. But now you finish your ice cream. The only thing left is half a cone. So if the shahakol took effect on the ice cream and by extension on the cone as well, then carry on eating, no problem. The cone has already received its bracha. But if no, the cone is just there to hold the ice cream, it's bottle, it's negated by the ice cream, and therefore never acquired a bracha, that's all fine and well if the ice cream's here. But when the ice cream's not here, how can you possibly tell me it's negated by the ice cream? The ice cream's not here anymore, so it can't be there to negate it. So l'chayra, I would have to make a bracha on mezainus on the remaining part of the cone. That nafka mina, it will be a classic, will be a classic example of the difference between these two tzedakim, and the many other nafka minas as well. So essentially, when you have a chakira like that, you really have to learn the sugya and try and see if there's any proofs in one direction or another. Okay. Have a look at the second Tosfos. I don't know why it's written second, it should be first. Have a look at Tosfos. Mavorech al hamoliach. That's what the Mishnah told us. You make a bracha on the moliach, following which you make a bracha on the... Sorry, and therefore that would exempt the pass because of the Ikar and Tofer rule. Says Tosfos. Va'af al gav da'ash me'inon. Even though we have already learned the pas poiter esapar peres, where does it say that? That was our last Mishnah in the Mem base. It says right at the bottom, birich ala pas poter esapar peres, ala par peres loy poter esapas. Isn't that the Ikar and Tofel rule? It is. Why are we being taught it all over again? Says Tosfos, itzrich laashmiinu. We need to be taught this rule as well with the Maliach and the Pas, the Pa'omim, because sometimes the Pas Tofel. If I would only have had the first Mishnah, what might I have thought? That maybe the Pas is always the king. That means it's true, I appreciate there exists the rule of Ikar and Tofel, but maybe Pas is always the Ikar. Maybe Pas is so choshuv that it cannot be negated by anything, even though we all really understand that the Maliach is the main part. I would have been excused for thinking, maybe the Pas is always the king. That's why I need this Mishnah to be taught that what? That no, Pas is no different, with regard to the Ikar and Tofel principle, than any other food. If it really is the Tofel, then it really is a Tofel. And if you don't make a brach on it, that's the Chiddush of this Mishnah. In other words, we're not really being taught in this Mishnah the rule of Ikar and Tofel. The Ikar and Tofel rule has already been taught to us. Rather, what we're being taught is that the old Ikar and Tofel rule applies also to Pas, even when the Pas is the Tofel. Says the Gemara.
So why the last statement of the statement in the Mishnah in terms of the klal?
Oh, good question. When we say ze haklal kol shuikah, it sounds like as if we're establishing the rule, but we're not. We already knew this from Daf Mem Beis. So according to Tosfos, we're going to have to say it's a bit of a doichik maybe. Ze haklal. What we mean is you should know that this is an all-inclusive rule. The actual rule we all knew all along. We knew it from Daf Mem Beis on Madalef. What is being taught in our Mishnah is, we didn't realize that it's a klal. We didn't realize that it applies in all scenarios. We thought maybe bread is an exception. Says the Mishnah, no, zeh haklal. This is a general rule with no exception. Okay, let's see the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Umiya Kamidi, is there anything to have a moliach, ikar, upas, tfeilo? How do you understand this question? What's the shaila of the Gemara? Does there exist a case when the moliach is the ikar and the pas is the tofel? Question mark. What's the shaila? What are we querying over here? Are we querying the halachics, or we're querying the metzias? The metzias, i.e., we're not querying the principle of Ikra and Tofel. We just don't understand the case. What's the metzias of the case over here? Since when is salty food ever considered an Ikka compared to pas? How significant can Moliach be? Even though it's true, Tosfos taught us just now that yes, if pas is the Tofel, then pas is the Tofel. I've got no problem with that. But says the Gemara, tell me, what is it Tofel to? I don't mind it being Tofel, but Tofel to Moliach? How could that be? What's the case? Moliach is such an insignificant food. How can that be? It's a piece of salted herring. Says the Gemara, you're quite right. Omer avacha breder avira, omer avashi ba'oichle peiros ginoisar shanu. We're talking about a case where he's eating peiros ginoisar. What is peiros ginoisar? Says Rashi on the top line. Peiros ginoisar, peiros eretz yam kineres. Chashuvim min hapas. Now, I think they might well be a machloikas rishenim over here. The way that Rashi's learning is, how many foods do I have in front of you?
Three now.
Three?
Maybe not, maybe two.
Or two?
No.
Yeah, well.
Do I have peiros and moliach and pas? Or the peiros is the moliach?
No, because we're gonna learn that the Maliach was brought because the peiros is so succulent that you're gonna get sick from it, or it's gonna change you in some way, or
that we're gonna see in Tosfos. That's definitely a valid reading of the Gemara. The question is it the only reading of the Gemara? Or does it mean that we're talking about eating peiros ginois and that is the Maliach? A normal moliach is not very choshuv, but the moliach, which is called peiros ginoisa, they're so sweet and sour and salty, and they're very, very choshuv. That type of moliach is more choshuv than pas.
So is the Rav saying that the fruit itself is the salty?
Yes.
Or they had to put salt onto the fruit in order to take away the sweetness?
Could be, but it's not a separate food. Okay. That, I must tell you, is the simple reading of Rashi. Rashi says, Peiros eretz yam kineres chashuvim min hapas. The peiros are more chashuv than the pas. Okay, that's all fine and well, but what about the maliach? Rashi didn't tell me one word. One second, where did the maliach suddenly disappear to? So what's the mashmaos of Rashi? But that is the maliach. That's what the Gemara means. Rashi didn't say that, okay, I need to tell you a whole lengthy explanation over here. We're talking about, there's also peiros on the table, and we took you on a bit of a ride till now. You thought there's only moliach and pas. Actually, there's something else after all, which we never told you about. Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi just says, peiros are more choshev than pas. Okay, very good. Who's talking about peiros over here? Yeah, because Gemara says, yeah, peiros. But we're discussing moliach. So the simple reading in Rashi is that the moliach in our case is the peiros. We're talking about peiros which have a very, very sweet, sour taste to them. And those peiros are indeed more choshev than pas. As we're soon going to see in the Gemara, quite phenomenal statements actually, about how choshev these peiros are.
Why wouldn't Rashi say that when in the Mishnah?
Yeah.
That what?
When he describes what moliach is.
Because the Gemara explains what it is. Well, like we always point out, Rashi only foretells what's going to be stated in the Gemara if there's some basic pshat issue with the Mishnah. We have no problems reading the Mishnah.
What is wrong with a piece of herring, which is our maliach?
Says the Gemara, can't be. No such case. Says the Gemara, it can't be that a person would ever favor herring over bread. So the Gemara says, can't be. You'll tell me you enjoy
your famous
herring.
Herring on a cracker. That's
cracker maybe, but not for pas.
Ah, so you're saying there's a difference.
Yeah. Again, I'm not going to argue with the factual argument put by the Gemara. The Gemara says, can't be mamaliach is more choshev. Says Gemara, you're right. Uh-huh. But peiros genoisar is different. Now, you're quite right. You'll see in Tosfos in a moment that Tosfos understood that the peiros were in addition to the maliach, or to be more accurate, the maliach was in addition to the peiros. Right. But Rashi doesn't sound like he's saying that.
Okay.
Rashi simply says, the payers are more chashed than the bread. Fine, okay, but we're talking about the maliach over here. So it must be, that's the same thing. The payers is the maliach. Let's immediately see the top places. Says Toisves. Top Toisves. Boichle Peres Ginois Arshonu. We have learned. We are talking about Peres Ginois Arshah Moliach Iker. Over here, the Moliach is the Iker. Do you know why? Shehu Bo Lahoshiv Halev. What does that mean, Lahoshiv Halev? To restore the heart. Shenechlash, which has become weakened. Mipnei Mesikus HaPeirois, which has been weakened as a result of the sweetness of these peiros. Apparently, peiros Ginoisar are incredibly sweet peiros, and they're so incredibly sweet, we'll see amazing statements coming up in the Gemara. Therefore, why did you bring the Maliach to the table in the first place? Essentially, you had peiros. Fine, you had peiros. But now, you're feeling so sickly, as it were, from the very sweet taste of these peiros that your heart has become weakened. So you immediately bring to the table next moliach to restore the weakness of your heart. V'hapas shela'acharov tofel. And the pas that comes with it is tofel. V'einei bo elo b'shvil hamoliach. So again, what was the Gemara's question? What was the Gemara's answer? We thought that we're dealing with just two foods, i.e. Moliach and Pas. And the Gemara says that cannot be, because there is no such mitzias of Moliach ever being more choshev than Pas. The answer is, that's true if all you've got is Moliach and Pas. So Pas is definitely a better filler than a Moliach. But here, I'm not interested in being filled. I was filled with a Peiros. I just have a technical problem now. Once I've eaten the peiros, I need something now to counteract the sweetness, so I have something salty. So I'm interested in the maliach, not to fill me up, just to counter the peiros.
And this bread's brought after simply to get rid of the salt.
And the bread is just there, let's say, to get rid of the salt, whatever. But I'm not interested in eating bread at all. Therefore, under those circumstances where the Maliach itself was never brought to satiate me, if it was brought to be a filler, and the Gemara says that doesn't make any sense. How can bread ever be considered less important than anything if it's there as a filler? Says the Gemara, the way Tosa understands it, right, the salt, the Maliach was never there as a filler. The main course was the fruit, the Peiros Ginoisa. Now I've got a technical problem because they're very sweet, so that my heart has become weak, so you need something to counter that. So the Maliach did the trick. So in that role, the pass is tuffle to the Maliach. Now, says Tosis, 1 second. Ve'im toima. Peiros have a ikka. So if that's the case, 1 second, why are you making a broch on the Maliach at all?
Mm-hmm.
The Peiros is the ikka. Umaliach tuffle. Ve'livrich ala Peiros, ve'liftar kulu. So why doesn't he just make a broch on the Peiros? Then anything becomes potter. The fruits would exempt the Maliach and exempt the Pas. So why am I making a separate bracha on the Maliach? I understand that if you make a bracha on the Maliach, that exempts the bread. But why are you making a bracha on the Maliach? Why is that itself not also a tuffle? Which means that the bread would be a tuffle to the Maliach, but the Maliach in turn is a tuffle to the Peiros. Says Tosis, there's two possible answers. Yesh Lema.
I'm sorry. is Tosfos asking Akasha on his own assertion that there may be a third?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the way Tosis understood the Gemara. Okay. Tosis understood that the order of events was, you got your pay raise, but it's very, very salty, so you have to have Maliach to counter that,
right.
And the bread now helps that. There's three separate foods over here.
This makes sense. You're having something salty, and at the counter, you're having something salty.
Sweet on it. Sorry, the peiros is very sweet.
Peiros is sweet.
Yeah, yeah. Says Toisves, v'yesh loima d'mayri, we're talking about, shaloi Ochal ha-peiros ba-oisoi maimed. You never actually ate the peiros in that particular setting. What does that mean? You had the peiros half an hour ago. You didn't eat it together. You had peiros, beautiful peiros. Half an hour later, you're thinking to yourself, wow, I've got this incredibly sweet taste in my mouth. I thought it would disappear, and it can't. I need something to counter it. So now you took a maliach.
It is chalosh.
Now the maliach.
Yeah, whatever. Now it kicks in.
Now it makes sense that the maliach.
So now
is
the maliach
the
is the ikar. Why? If I would have the maliach together with the peiros, then you're quite right. Ikar and tofel. It wasn't in the same maimed at all. He went to a kiddush on Shabbos morning, and they were serving sushi and peiros ginoisa. Sounds good? Good kiddush. So, he tucked in, he comes back home, and he says, wow, gosh, this sweet-tasting peiros ginoisa is swirling around my mouth. I need to take something to counter it. So he went to the fridge and took some maliach with bread. So you can't say, but the broch he made on the peiros half an hour, you know, it's half an hour, it wasn't the same mind, but it wasn't the same sitting at all. That's one possibility. Inami, b'sha'o she'ochal peiros ginoisa. Or alternatively, maybe it was the same maimed, maybe it was all the same meal. However, when he initially ate the peiros, lo yhoyo shom adayin maliach upas. There was no maliach upas to be thought of, to be seen. Why? Why was it not on the table? Why was it not on the menu? Lo yhoyo yoidea. Again, we're talking about a particular okimta. He didn't know sheyechlash liboy, that his heart will become weak, machmas hamasikus, as a result of the sweetness. Therefore, this was a classic nimlach. Remember, we've had nimlach many times. Nimlach means you change your mind, it's a new development. I've decided that I want to eat something else. If it was all there right from the outset, and on your plate or on the table you have your peiros, your maliach, and your pas, then Tosfos never ever backs down from that. He doesn't say, I made a mistake. No, he just says the case is different. But Tosfos says, I did not make a mistake. It still remains true that if indeed they're all there together in the same maimed, you knew full well from the outset that the peiros ginoisa would require an immediate tasting of a maliach, then sure, it would be ikar and tofel. Ikar and tofel. By the way, we've just been taught another very important rule by the by. What does Tosfos say we're talking about? It's not in the same maimed. Okay? Or because you didn't know. Fine. But if you did, as it's all in the same maimed, there won't be the halacha. Then there'll be an ikar and tofel. One second. Just explain to me the menu. How does this work? You have your peiros, and then what?
Maliach.
And then your maliach, and then your pas. But you don't actually have your maliach in the same mouthful as the peiros. Agreed? So we're learning from Tosfos. Maybe this is a chiddush, maybe it's not. The ikar and tofel rule applies not only when you're eating two foods simultaneously. If I'm having my ice cream and the cone or the cracker with the fish or the fruit salad together with the vegetables, it's all one oichel. Hey, it's not one oichel.
Ice cream cones.
Ice cream might be an example, but at least that you're holding it all together, whatever, it's all one food. Okay. Here, it could be separate, maybe on the plate, maybe not, maybe a separate course. Which, to us, perhaps is not a chiddush, because we do this every Shabbos, every bread-based meal, even on Shabbos. You wash your bread, and that's you don't make any brachas until dessert, whatever, it's different. Why? The bread is over here, then came the fish, then came the soup, then came the meat, then Teretz is ikar and tofel, doesn't have to be eaten together. So Tosfos never turned round to say that, no, there can't be an ikar and tofel rule because the maliach is eaten after the peiros. Tosfos didn't say that. That doesn't bother him. So what if the maliach is eaten after the peiros? If you knew you were going to eat it, and it's all the same maimed, then the Ikka and Tofel rule would jolly well apply. Problem is, it wasn't the same maimed. This was a kiddush in your friend's house, and this is your lunch at home. Or even if it wasn't the same maimed, but you never in a million years thought you're going to need it. Suddenly you didn't realize how sweet it was. Okay, fine, we better do something about this. So it's a completely, it's a nimlach situation. But otherwise, Ikra and Tofel would apply. Very, very important. Fine, back into the Gemara. Says the Gemara. The Gemara is now going to discuss at great length, and I think we can move forward quite quickly over here, maybe all the way to the Mishnah even, discussing the praises of these fruits, the Peres Genosa, and of foods of Eretz Yisrael in general. Says the Gemara, Oma Rabo Bar Bar Chana, Ki Hava Ozlinon Basrei de Rabbi Yechanan. When we were once following Rabbi Yechanan, Lemechal Peres Genosa, in order to eat Peres Genosa, Ki Havinon Be Meo, Menaktinon le kol chad v'chad asoro asoro. When we were 100 talmidim following the Rebbe, and we wanted to present him with these peres genoisa, we all held 10 each. 10 each. So 100 talmidim, and to him, so that means he consumed 1,000 peres genoisa. If it was the other way around, if we were only 10 of us there, then menaktinon, then we would hold, lay for him, kol chad v'chad, each one of us, meo, 100 each, again, 1,000. V'chol meo minayhu, and each 100 of them, have a machzik luhu tzina, would be enough to fill a basket of bar tlosa soy. Three saw. So each 100 is a basket of three saw. If there was 1,000, it says 30 saw. Can you imagine how much there is? 30 saw, it's like a field the size of a football pitch.
It's a football pitch.
What do you call it? Football,
must be the
football field?
Look in the back. Of
mine. Field.
Soccer field.
Soccer field is probably just, I don't know, 4 or 5 saw. This is 30 saw of Peres he ate. Not only that, it gets better still. V'ochel lehu, and he ate them all. How much? All 1,000 Peres. And then, or mishtaba, and he took an oath, deloitoim ziyuna, that he hasn't tasted any, yeah, he hadn't tasted food. He just ate 1,000 peres genoisa and said, no, didn't eat anything. How can that be?
Have the bench. Go around the doing.
Says the Gemara, ziyuna salkadatach. Do you really think that means that he didn't eat any food? I mean, this is food. Well, how can you possibly take an oath? I didn't eat food. This is food. Eloheimo mezoino. We've had this in the past. Ziyuna is food, but mozoin is something which satiates. In other words, even after 1,000, he said he's still not satiated. They're so delicious that I could eat more. Says Rashi. Ziyuna, on the second wide line at the top, mashma midi devar achila, anything which is food. Mozoina is dovor hasoyed. What does soyed mean? From the word suda. Something that satiates. I'm not satiated, they're so delicious, I could keep on going strong. Now listen to this. Rav Avohu Ochel, Rav Avohu used to eat these peiros, ad so much so, ad dahavashorik lei. They used to slip off devuva. What's a devuva? Dudva is a fly, me'apuse from his forehead. Why? Says Rashi. Shahazvuv machlik, the fly would slip mi metzchoy. What's metzchoy? His forehead. Mitoich tzahalas ponim besorei machlik. Because of the flesh on his face was so shiny. In other words, he ate so many peiros that the oil and the grease of these peiros oozed through the skin of his face, such that if a fly would land on his face, it would just slip off because of the grease. That's how many peiros he ate. Soha laspon, what does it mean? Sohola, like Ayhudi Moisa Oira Vesimcha. Sohola Vesomecha, it's all shining. His face was literally gleaming, like imagine if a face is greased. It looks very shiny. So the fly would slip off. If you think that's incredible, Verav Ami says the Gemara, Verav Asi Hava Ochli, they used to eat so much of this peiros, it was so succulent, ad denotur mozayu, until the hair used to fall out.
That's what happened, eh?
Yes, everyone's eating peiros ginoisa here. Notur mozayu. Reb Shimon ben Lokesh have a ochel ad demorid. What does ad demorid mean? Says Rashi, daitoi maturefes, you become delirious. Become delirious, so almost like shikha from these peiros, they were so delicious. So much so that to help him out. Rabbi Yochanan sent a message to the Nossi, concerned about Rish Lakish. He's eaten all of these peiros, he's gone delirious. And the Nossi sent him, Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya. Rabbi Yehuda, the Nossi, sent him Ba'alushi, a whole group of people, Abasrei, after looking for Rish Lakish. He's to bring him home because they're worried he'll do damage to himself. He's delirious. Says Rashi, Ba'alushi Uchlusi Bnei Adam, a whole group of people. Incredible. Says the Gemara, Ki Osa Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came from Bovel Teres Yisrael, Omar, he said, Ir Achas Hoysoloi Liyanai HaMelech, a certain town, Yanai HaMelech had a certain city, Bahar HaMelech, which was on the mountain belonging to the king, Shahayu Moitziim Mimeno. Rav Dimi came, by the way, from where?
Eretz Yisrael.
To Bavel. This is the Talmud, Bavli. So he's describing now the great praises of Eretz Yisrael. He says there was a certain town that Yanai HaMelech had. It was so incredible, you could extract from it shishim ribui. What's that?
600,000,
because it's 60 times 10,000. Shishim ribui safli baskets of taris. What's taris?
Tuna.
Lekoitzetze teinim, for the fig pickers. Me'erev Shabbos le'erev Shabbos. In a week, you could discover 600,000 tuna fish. Says Rashi, Safli Taris, Sfolim, bowls, Maleim Chatichas Dag Chotuch, full of chopped up fish, Shekoirin Tunina. Lekoitze Te'inim, Lema'achal Poyalim, it used to be food for the workers, Shekoitzitzim Te'inim, their job was to cut off the figs from the trees, V'hoyu Merubim. And there were so many, ad shekol elu tzrichim lahem lamachol. That's how much food they needed for them. In other words, what we're really praising is not the tuna fish. We're praising the figs. We're saying, there were so much figs that you needed so many workers to pluck them that you needed 600,000 tuna fish just for a week of food. So we're not praising the amount of tuna fish in Eretz Yisrael. We're praising the amount of figs. That's what Rashi says.
It's important.
For Hoyu Merubim, there were so many figs that you needed that many workers that warranted 600,000 tuna fish just to be able to feed them for 1 week.
A lot of mayonnaise, too.
A lot of mayonnaise.
It's all the importers.
Says the Gemara, Ki Asa Ravin, Oma, he says, Ilon Echod Hoyo Yilani Amelech. There was just one tree, never mind the town. There was one tree that Yanei Amelech had. Again, Bahar Amelech. Shehayu Moiridim Imenu. They could take down from that tree Arboim So'o Goizlois. 40 So'o of young pigeons. Misholesh Brechois Bachoidesh. From three separate
groupings.
It means you do it three times a month, 40 so'o of pigeons just from one tree. Says Rashi. Brechois kubiesh balaz. Misholesh Brechois Bachoidesh. Says Rashi. Gimel pa'omim Bachoidesh. Three times a month, Meiridim Mimenu Kach. They used to take down from this one solitary tree, that's 120 so'o of pigeons, just from one tree. That's the Shvach of Eretz Yisrael. Kiyosu Rav Yitzchok, then Rav Yitzchok stepped up. You ain't seen nothing yet. Again, talking about Eretz Yisrael, and he said something very interesting. Oma Ir Achas Hoysa Eretz Yisrael, there was one town in Eretz Yisrael, the Gufanis Shema, and it was called Gufanis. Shehoyu Bo Shmoinim Zugois Achim Koyanim. There were 80 pairs of Koyanim brothers, not from the same family, presumably, but different families, 80 sets of brothers. Nesuim l'shmoinim zugois achiyois kahanes. All married to equivalent sets of sisters. You had two brothers married two sisters, two brothers married two sisters, 80 sets of them.
Oh, the boys Kohanim too.
Were ben Koyanim, and the girls were benois Koyanim. Yes. Says Rashi, Shmoinim Zugois Achim, Shnaim Shnaim Achim, Hoyu Kulom. Groups of brothers, two by two, V'chein Sheseim, also their wives were all sisters. An incredible thing. Ubodku Rabbonon Misura V'ad Nahardo. Rabbonon checked from Sura all the way to Nahardo, V'loi Ashkechu. They never found an equivalent phenomena. You had 80 sets, that's 160. 80 sets of brothers marrying 80 sets of sisters. Incredible phenomenon. Bar, but besides for me, Bon Seder of Chista, besides for the daughters of Rav Chista, Davanasivan Leromim Bachama, Ulamar Ukva Bachama. His daughters also in pairs did marry other pairs of brothers. But Va'afagav di Inu Avakanta, even though the girls were the Kohanim, but in who, but the boys, lo have a Kohanim, they were not Kohanim. And therefore the phenomena that we described previously was indeed unique. Because the only equivalent situation was, there was this phenomenon of brothers marrying sisters, but it wasn't all Kohanim. Okay. Omarav, Kol Suda She'ein Bo Melach, Eina Suda. If you don't have salt in a meal, it's not considered a meal. Very important part. Omer Abchir Ba'aba, Omer Abyechnan, Kol Suda She'ein Bo Sarif. Eina Suda. What does that mean, says Rashi? Soup. Sarif Tavshil Lach. She'esh Boy Marak. What's Marak?
Soup.
K'moy Surfa Chaya, which we had on the last omelet. Okay, so that took us neatly from Mishnah to Mishnah. Maybe the Ikar and Tofel we'll have a look at again next time with regards to the other sugyas, but either way, we can now move forward into the next sugya. One should see, if you look at the third Tosfos, which we'll see Be'ez Hashem, Tosfos brings the Gemara in Daf Lamed Zayin Omad Aleph, which admittedly we learned a long time ago, but we should all have a look at that Gemara, because that discusses this discussion, Aloch, in the Mishnah, what is the after bracha for fruits, which is something we haven't discussed much in this perek. Most of this perek has been discussing the bracha rishona, not the bracha achrona. That will be'ez Hashem be our next sugya on Thursday. Habo'aleinu l'tayla, mitz Hashem.